Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day to consider a great question. What would Lincoln do? I mean, seriously, what would Abraham Lincoln do? You remember all of those bracelets and that whole rage. Many, many people still wear them. Wear bracelets saying WWJD, what would Jesus do? Okay, good question. If you want moral guidance and ethical guidance in your own life. But what if you're an American politician and you understand that politics in a fallen world is always imperfect? It always involves compromise. It always involves some kind of tough dealing and rough dealing. What would Lincoln do about the fiscal cliff? Wouldn't it be great if you could ask Lincoln? Well, you can't ask Lincoln, but the next best thing is asking Harold Holzer. He is the author of, is this your 43rd book, Harold?
Yes, 43.
That's really intimidating and disgusting. How dare you?
It's also edited books, so it's 43 around the edges, I guess.
Harold Holzer has written as many books and as critically acclaimed books about Abraham Lincoln as anybody. He played a very significant role in the bicentennial of Lincoln's birth. His book is called Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America. He was also a consultant on the movie Lincoln, which everybody who listens to the show knows that I loved and gave 4 stars to. Harold Holzer, if somebody asked you right now, what would Lincoln do differently from the kind of leadership that we're seeing on both sides of the aisle right now?
Well, you know, if I can backtrack for 1 second, I actually went to a screening held in Washington, hosted by Senators Reid and McConnell, to see the Lincoln movie. And the lure was not only free popcorn and Good and Plenty, which I haven't seen for a long time, but also Daniel Day-Lewis and Steven Spielberg and Tony Kushner and Doris Goodwin.
They were all there?
They were all there.
Fantastic.
Answering questions. What I found dispiriting was that after Senator McConnell spoke, first Senator Reid spoke, I guess representing the majority, and then Senator McConnell, and then Senator McConnell left, and there were no Republicans in the room. And I thought, this is what the problem is. They won't, except actually, Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins stayed, the two women from Maine. I thought it was really weird, and I don't get it. So that's my own distressing statement about the cliff, but... You know, this was a sort of an equality cliff for Lincoln these last days before his inauguration in 1865, and he wanted a deal on the 13th Amendment to the Constitution abolishing slavery, and he hammered away at it. I mean, give people federal jobs, maybe a little money, and abandon a regulatory bill for New Jersey railroads, so 2 or 3 New Jersey congressmen who were supported by the railroads would absent themselves from the quorum. But he twisted arms and moved heaven and earth, and I don't see anybody doing that now.
1-800-955-1776 is our phone number. Harold Holzer is the author of the new book. It's posted on our website, Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America. It is a companion book to the film Lincoln, the Steven Spielberg film. It's officially a companion book for young readers,
right,
but it doesn't read like a children's book. What does it mean? You've written books for young readers before. What does that mean to you, that it's for young readers?
Well, I mean, it's specifically targeted to teenage readers. So I try to write a little less ostentatiously, I guess. I tend to write long sentences and enjoy language. And writing a young adult book is sort of like going to... you know, a writing camp. It forces you to get rid of all the flourishes and sort of get back to essentials.
You have to channel your inner Hemingway, do you?
Yeah, 2-word sentences if I can do it.
Those are always a trick. Not bad. Okay.
It's a good exercise, actually. It's good to do every few years. I used to do it because my children were young and I thought they would read the books. And now I do it because there's a, you know, a nice market out there for young readers. But you're right. People are picking this up, I gather, who are not necessarily young adult readers, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, some of the illustrations in the book, some of the photographic illustrations are quite remarkable, and the others with excellent and informative captions. And the book, by the way, is not just a narrow focus like the film on the last few weeks of Lincoln's life. It actually goes much further back and gives you a whole sense of where he came from and who he was and the kind of politician he was.
You know, the movie is really a focus, as you say, on the first 4 months of 1865. But where did he come from on slavery? What was the evolution of his attitude on freedom and opportunity? And it was a long, tough road for Lincoln, as it would be for most 19th century whites, especially those born in the South.
Again, bringing this up to date a little bit. I mean, we look at this fiscal cliff matter, and we think that this is a crisis. It is. I mean, obviously, America will be very badly impacted economically when or if things go wrong in Washington, D.C. But one of the things that comes across in both the film and in your book and in any knowledge of the historical record is people in 1864, 1865, they knew they were playing for eternity. They knew that these were changes that were profoundly important. I'm struck in your book, you cite Lincoln after the amendment abolishing slavery is actually passed. He and sent to the states. Lincoln says this is important for the whole world. I don't think anybody has the sense that what they're going through in Washington is anything more than stopgaps. People are trying to prevent immediate damage. They're not trying to solve long-term problems, are they?
You know, you're right about Lincoln believing that America was an example for the world. It's unfashionable today. You know, American exceptionalism is often derided. But Lincoln was a great believer in it, and he thought, you know, you can see it in his speeches. Even the speeches he made en route to his inauguration in 1861, he believed that America had an opportunity and a responsibility to set an example for the world. The European revolutions against tyranny in the 1840s had ended unsuccessfully, and dictatorships were springing up in Mexico, a French dictatorship. So Lincoln thought America should provide an example of how great democracy was, but he also believed that the existence of slavery made us sort of as he called it, a great hypocrisy. So that was what he felt needed to be corrected in order to spread democracy around the world, which we don't talk about anymore.
By the way, I know some people are listening, and who are listening carefully, they're saying, wait a minute, did he just say a French dictatorship in Mexico?
Emperor Maximilian, right?
Yeah, of course. And of course, that was true. It's another fascinating episode, and one of the characters in the book and in the movie, William Henry Seward, actually ended up playing a pretty key role in helping to get rid of that French-imposed emperorship or dictatorship in Mexico.
It's hard to believe it existed, but it was there, and it was part of his veiled threat that Lincoln was always operating under, which was that England and France would enter the war on the Confederate side, or just by recognizing Confederate independence, you know, do as much damage to the United States as going over the fiscal cliff would do, maybe a little bit more.
We have callers, Mr. Holzer, from time to time, and in fact we had one yesterday who was very impassioned, who are modern-day advocates of secession. Mm-hmm. Do you want to exchange or offer a few choice words of advice to them?
Yeah, I mean, as Lincoln said, a husband and wife can divorce, but the states cannot divorce. They have entered a compact for eternity. There is no tyranny in the United States because we all agreed on a system of electing our presidents that requires that those who win the most electoral votes win, even if they get 39.9% of the popular vote, as Abraham Lincoln did, the second lowest of any presidential winner in the history of the United States. That was sacred, and that was worth fighting for, because otherwise chaos ensues and America, as Lincoln calculated, would be defenseless against threats like the French or the Russians, who were considered a threat even then. So Yeah, majority rules, and that's what Lincoln said, and we're all in it together. And he had offered endless homey metaphors, but he believed in the sacredness of the Constitution and that it was unbreakable.
We will come back with more considerations of what would Lincoln do. What is it that people get wrong and right about Abraham Lincoln? He's called capitalism the greatest thing humanity ever accomplished, and he warns that socialism is trickle-up poverty. He's internationally acclaimed Whole Foods CEO and free market champion, John Mackey, the keynote speaker at this year's Washington Policy Center annual dinner in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency. Yup, in person in Bellevue with the Hyatt Regency on October 1st. Tickets and information, WPCdinner.com. That's WPCdinner.com. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle. Small investors shamed Wall Street by running the price of certain stocks way up to the detriment of big hedge funds, social media, and trading platforms, then kept investors from buying stock. A financial war is being waged in America. With all this volatility, now's an even better time to protect your net worth and own precious metals as part of your portfolio. Nick Grovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has always been fair and honest with my precious metals holdings, and now, more than ever, it's a good time to own tangible assets like gold, silver, and platinum. AmFed can show you smart choices, which have been proven winners time and time again. Call Nick and his team at AmFed today, 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694, or visit AmericanFederal.com.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We know that the 1% globalist elites have hijacked and subverted the U.S. economy, culture, and government. The battle to take America back begins with Scott McKay, the Patriot Street Fighter, and his Advancing the Fourth in Line tour. Now here's Scott.
Hi, this is Scott McKay, better known as Patriot Street Fighter, the high-octane, full-throttle truth hammer, and I'm bringing the Advancing the Fourth in Line tour to a city near you. I and a host of other speakers will be on stage with an arsenal of issues from health rights, human rights, and the freedom given to us by the founding fathers who drafted the Constitution for the United States of America. This is a ticketed event, and you can get tickets at PatriotStreetFighter.com. I'm looking forward to personally seeing many of you there.
The Patriot Street Fighter Advancing the Fork in Line tour tickets can be purchased at PatriotStreetFighter.com. For tour dates and information, or to purchase your tickets, go to PatriotStreetFighter.com. That's PatriotStreetFighter.com.
The Michael Medved Show, all across America. This is The Michael Medved Show.
21 minutes after the hour on The Michael Medved Show with Harold Holzer, who's written a terrific new book, his 43rd book, about Abraham Lincoln. And it's fascinating in the context of Lincoln to think about the way that we are dealing with a crisis in Washington, D.C. Now, that crisis, in many ways, different from the crisis that Abraham Lincoln faced. He was conscious of the fact that America needed to be a role model for the whole world as the only functioning democratic republic, really fully functioning democratic republic at the time. And Harold Holzer is the author of his 43rd book. I'm looking over the list of your titles, Mr. Holzer, and I can't say that I've read all of them. All 43, am I right, appear to be about Lincoln or the Civil War era?
Yes, absolutely.
How old were you when you first developed the passionate interest in the 16th president?
I was in fifth grade, so I guess about 11. And I had a great teacher in New York City who one day came in with literally with a hat full of folded up names of world heroes, I think all men, as it happened, and we were each asked to pick a name and then write what we used to call a composition, based on a book in the school library. And I picked Lincoln by chance and wound up picking up that afternoon a book called The Lincoln Nobody Knows by a historian I later came to know named Richard Current, who died at the age of 100, so good genes for Lincoln people. And that was it. I was sort of transfixed from that moment on.
You know, I thought you were going to mention there was a book that I read when I was about, I guess, the same age that you were when you first really got to know Lincoln. It was a biography called Lincoln the Unknown by Dale Carnegie. Yeah. Remember that one?
Absolutely.
Dale Carnegie.
I used it in my Library of America collection of, you know, observations about Lincoln over the years. People don't realize, most people don't realize that Dale Carnegie wrote about Lincoln. So did Bram Stoker, the author of Dracula. So he's, you know, had his aficionados from unusual disciplines, I think, over his time in prominence.
Well, what's remarkable about it, and I think that you've spent a lot of your life with Lincoln since the fifth grade, he's remarkably good company, which I think comes across in the film, no?
You know, he's good company because he's, you know, the image, which is the first thing I ever wrote about and spent, you know, 15 years focusing on photography and prints and paintings of Lincoln, that haunting face, the you know, the little bit of him dying every day for the national sins, this identification that people had with him just on a very visceral, physical manner, it was unprecedented, really, except for Washington, that people had used him as almost like a religious icon in their homes. And then his words are great company. He was, as even Edmund Wilson, who was sort of a sourpuss, said that he, alone among American presidents, he might have been a great writer of the non-political kind. In fact, you know, people like Harriet Beecher Stowe and Walt Whitman thought he was the greatest writer of the century. Harriet Beecher Stowe said his words deserve to be inscribed in letters of gold. And then I think the other thing that makes him good company is the humor. And Doris Goodwin was intent that the film have his one great sort of ribald joke that she loves, which of course you can't talk about on the radio, but sort of scatological, and it's a great story, and it's very well sourced that Lincoln loved it and told it a lot. But you also get the sense that he would relieve his own anxieties by telling funny stories, even though it drove everybody else crazy.
That one ribald story, I think that people watching the movie, and this was a concern of mine, would get the wrong idea, because at one point you see Abraham Lincoln using an R-rated word.
Right.
And he would only very rarely do that. Isn't that the case?
Certainly as he got older and was more conscious of his, you know, standing in society, he did. But, yeah, you know, he told that one was just, the one we're talking about is just scatological. But he told...
Right,
you know,
it has to do with an outhouse.
It's an outhouse story, right.
Right.
Yeah, you know, he was pretty well known for telling sort of Cracker Barrel stories. You know, he was young, so he got over it. He also got over being sort of more angry and more sarcastic in politics as he got older, especially after one of his sarcastic episodes in print got him challenged to a duel, which he...
Well, that's with James Shields,
where
Lincoln had the good idea that they should fight the duel with swords?
Broadswords. Right, because he had the longest reach in the county, so it was the safest bet against this fiery Irishman who he had insulted really pretty brutally in the local newspapers.
Well, he just said he smelled bad.
And that he was repulsive to women and imagined himself a great Don Juan. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, that could get a fiery Irishman somewhat concerned. 1-800-955-1776. You talk in your book, and the book's quite wonderful, and it's right. I know the season of gift-giving is kind of over, but when people are looking for something to give to any young person, or really to any person, because this is so highly readable, and it is so worthwhile and so inspiring and can actually reassure people about politics and about America at kind of a low moment for our republic. You talk in the book about your experience getting involved with the making of this movie. I know that you're part of the team, but can you look back in retrospect and say, I wish they had done this differently? Is there one point that sticks in mind that...
Yeah, there are a few things. I mean, the job of a script consultant is a lonely and unfulfilling job. I mean, it's a lot of fun to hang out with Tony Kushner, who is a genius, and it's a lot of fun to hang out a little bit with Steven Spielberg, who's amazing, and to meet Daniel Day-Lewis, as difficult it was to get near him for so long because he gets in character and encases himself in some sort of a shell that's very impenetrable. But if you expect that your brilliant suggestions are going to be taken, then you're going to be really frustrated. And yeah, there are things I wish they'd done. I'll give you one example because I wrote about it in the Daily Beast, so it's not that I'm being it's not sour grapes. Especially since I didn't get paid for it, I guess I can say what I want. At the end of the movie, in the great drama of the vote on the 13th Amendment, which is really beautifully done, you see the clerk of the House scrawling the numbers in by hand, and you see the people at Grant's headquarters keeping a tally from telegraph reports.
Okay, we're going to come back in just a moment and say what happened with the passage of the 13th Amendment in the movie that was not quite accurate. I think I know where you're going, but let's see if it's the same point that I had noted. Meanwhile, we'll also talk a little bit about the anniversary of the Emancipation Proclamation. Why is that so much less important than the 13th Amendment? That and more with your calls for Harold Holzer, author of Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery.
You're listening to The Michael Medved Show. If you missed anything in today's broadcast, or if you want to check out our show archives, which go back over 5 years, consider becoming a MedHead now at MichaelMedved.com. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click the MedHead banner, and subscribe. We got some special deals going on right now. The cost of becoming a MedHead subscriber? About the price of a latte per month. And when you're a member, you get access to all kinds of premium features. Hundreds of Michael's one-minute commentaries, Tomlin's take, two podcasts, and a whole lot more. Most of all, thanks for listening.
What better gift to give your loved ones than the gift of good health? And where better to buy those good health gifts than sunny-bay.com? Hey, it's great that you're hearing this message now, because buying your holiday gifts from Sunny Bay early will save you money. And that's just one reason why Sunny Bay is in business and has been for over 15 years, helping you with fashionable and useful products for better health. See our unique and quality-made travel pillows, or our unique neck and body wraps that help immediate pain relief and deep muscle relaxation. Come at a wide variety of uses, apply hot or cold therapy, and are all made in the USA. See our great selection, affordable prices, and wonderful health products at sunny-bay.com. And remember, order early when our stock is high and shipping is fast. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com. And happy holidays from Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News. I'm Brad Bernards. Representative Bob Good, Republican of Virginia, told Fox News he will introduce legislation Wednesday that would make teaching critical race theory in federally funded schools a civil rights violation.
What we hope to accomplish is to advance Martin Luther King's principles, which were to judge people by their content of their character, not by the color of their skin. We don't believe that race defines a person, that, you know, we're not responsible for the sins of our past.
Critical race theory has become a battleground issue in local school districts nationwide. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said on Tuesday she's looking for G20 countries to reach political agreement on a global minimum corporate tax deal at their summit in October and has not ruled out a rate higher than 15%. Some 134 countries agreed over the summer to support a global minimum tax of at least 15%. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Kudos for having the best show on radio.
The Michael Medved Show.
We'll go to our callers in just a moment for Harold Holzer. He is author of the new book, Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America. It's a companion book to the Oscar-winning film, Lincoln. Also, it's easy to save 15% or even more on car insurance with GEICO. Just go to geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is even easier. Okay, Harold, you were just telling the story about the way the film came up a little bit short with the dramatic scene in which they're finally tallying up the votes on the House of Representatives voting its two-thirds necessary approval for the 13th Amendment, putting an end forever to slavery in the United States. What went wrong?
Well, because they called the roll by states, and it just drove me crazy, because the House of Representatives, like the Senate, is called alphabetically. Mr. Akaka retiring from the United States Senate, he has been the first called for the last 20 years. I worked for a member of Congress once in the 70s who was second on the roll call and had a hustle over there to get there because she always liked to be there for the...
That wouldn't be the late Bella Abzug, would it?
It would indeed.
Uh-huh.
I was her press secretary.
You must have known Steve Max.
Absolutely.
Okay, this is too much old school.
But anyway, yeah. Why did they have to call the roll, you know... Let's start with Maryland. And by the way, why did they start with Maryland? Because it's nearest to Washington. So anyway, I made my point. It wasn't important enough to be a point. Whether or not a soldier would have known the Gettysburg Address in 1865 is arguable.
See, that bothered me. One of the ways, and you talk about this in your book. In your book, you write about the way that Spielberg originally conceived of showing the Gettysburg Address and showing it brilliantly, not
Absolutely.
Focusing on Lincoln, but focusing on the crowd and
yeah.
the way the crowd was reacting and hearing his voice straining over a huge crowd in Gettysburg.
But what they do is toward the beginning of the movie, they have Lincoln speaking to a couple of black soldiers.
Right.
And they know the Gettysburg Address by heart, which struck me as preposterous.
Yeah, because that wasn't really in the American lexicon until the World War One era. Also, the idea that that a couple of African American soldiers would have asked, sort of demanded that the president change the pay structure and make it equal pay for black troops. You know, people didn't talk to the commander in chief that way. So
I think they still don't. Piece.
It's a way to get all the issues out there and Lincoln's eloquence out there and the fact that the soldiers sort of like him. Is it realistic? No. So here was my one contribution that actually got into the movie. In the original script, Lincoln was standing up walking among the soldiers, and the two African-American soldiers and two white soldiers were seated around a campfire talking to him. And I said, look, you know, I'm not sure that this ever could have happened, would have happened, but for heaven's sake, they never would have sat on the ground when the commander-in-chief was standing there. They would have stood up or been court-martialed. So that I won. I won that little point.
You know what that probably was in the original screenplay? That was probably a reference to Shakespeare's Henry V, where before the Battle of Agincourt,
yeah.
Henry V goes around to the campfires. Anyway, the thing that struck me about, and we will get to callers in a minute, but I'm just so much enjoying speaking to Harold Holzer. The thing that struck me was in the vote that they dramatize of the 13th Amendment of the Constitution, there is a moment very dramatically where a whole bunch of black people come into the House galleries as a group. I don't believe that really happened.
Oh, yeah,
did it?
They did. I'm not sure it was the very first time, but there was an African-American contingent who came in for the vote. I mean, it was pretty much a vote like the vote on Plan B. The speaker knew what the vote was, so he didn't call the vote, you know, for the fiscal cliff. So They knew they had it when it all started. I don't know if it was all as dramatic as they said. They pretty much had they knew they had two-thirds plus a couple on this one. All they had to do was keep a few people out so they wouldn't make the quorum and make it harder to get. But it was a very dramatic moment. And if you see the Harper's Weekly or Frank Leslie's Illustrated Newspaper sketches of the event and people cheering, you do see people of color in the audience.
Yes, but it wasn't the first time. I mean,
I don't think so. I know that it wasn't the first time.
They had black people in the galleries before. Here in the movie, everyone falls silent.
I know. It was a pretty beautiful moment, and whether it happened or not, look, it's all license. And Spielberg, who I introduced at Gettysburg a few weeks ago on the anniversary of the Gettysburg Address, gave a really beautiful speech in which he said that the role of art is to go beyond memory. It's to go beyond history. We're not historians. We're capturing what you don't know and what you can never know.
And by the way, and the film, of course, does that magnificently and beautifully. We will be right back, and we will take your calls with Harold Holzer, author of Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Two cousins on an Indian reservation in Wisconsin are able to keep a dark secret until they reunite disastrously in middle age in the moody thriller Wild Indian, now playing in select theaters.
I ain't proud of what I did. I have to tell you about your son.
Who are you?
Michael. You gonna be all right?
That's Jesse Eisenberg in a bit part, and he also helped as one of the producers. Kate Bosworth also has a supporting role. The star is the charismatic, brooding Michael Gray Eyes in a disturbing, often riveting portrayal of two very different ways of coping with Native American heritage. The film is not officially rated, but it would certainly deserve an R for brutal violence and one twisted, tortured sex scene. Two stars for the intermittently impressive Wild Indian.
This review brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
I just say that you do more for radio than what high definition will ever do for television.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
One of the joys of looking through this new Lincoln book, it's called Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America, and it's the 40th third book by Harold Holzer that he's either written or edited about Lincoln and the Civil War era. One of the joys is actually looking at the photographs and some of the drawings that are from the period and are quite remarkable, and give you some sense of how well Steven Spielberg captured all that in the film on which Mr. Holzer was a consultant. Let us go very directly to your calls and to Rob in Mount Vernon, Washington, 1-800-955-1776, our phone number. Rob, you're on the MedVed Show with Harold Holzer.
Thank you very much. Great conversation. I think the first thing we could probably start with is that liberals and conservatives alike love Lincoln, which is really one of the interesting things about him, about his persona, about his brain, about his tact and his sagacity and all of that. We all love Lincoln. Question is, I had also about the scene of Lincoln with the conversation with the African American soldiers. For one thing, it was an unfortunate way to get the Gettysburg Address into the movie. I think they should have actually had Lincoln delivering it. Secondly, the vernacular, or the soldiers were altogether too modern, too familiar, too casual with the president, I thought. And I didn't think that, it just didn't ring true in such a marvelous movie. And I'm just wondering what you think about that.
Yeah, I mean, just wearing my amateur movie critic/fans hat, I was a little taken aback by the beginning. I thought, I was wondering when you were doing your litany of criticisms whether you were going to get to the word casual, which is exactly the word I would use. It was too casual, but I think, you know, it's almost supposed to be a, Michael was talking about a Shakespearean moment there, that it was like the King Henry's speech at Agincourt, but it's also, you know, like Richard II, where there's a prologue and someone comes out and says, now is the winter of our discontent. Well, this is the winter of America's discontent, and they're just saying it in various ways.
And by the way, that famous scene from Henry V, which is so beautifully captured in another great movie by Laurence Olivier, and a pretty good movie by Kenneth Branagh. But
I have one other question.
Well, just 1 second. The point about Henry V visiting people is he's disguised. They don't recognize it's the king, and he sits down with them at the campfire, and it's a famous scene, it's a great scene. But obviously, Lincoln could not have even disguised himself if he had wanted to, because he stood out.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
Even for Americans who've been successful in dodging the coronavirus so far, there's still a problem of pain. There are 100 million Americans who suffer from ongoing pain due to overexertion or exercise or just aging or the effects of everyday living, and Relief Factor can help. It helps exercise-related pain or general muscle aches and pains, and it certainly does for me. There are 4 key ingredients. Each one approaches the body's natural anti-inflammatory response function from different metabolic pathways. The 3-week quick start can show you how it works. It's just $19.95, 95 cents a day, less than a cup of coffee a day, much less for pain relief. Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. Okay, how crucial are faith and freedom really to America? Ronald Reagan called faith and freedom the twin beacons that brighten the American sky. What did Reagan mean? Well, you can find out at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College, which has just launched a new course on the legacy of Ronald Reagan. This is very important because the course is posted online at the Institute's website, faithandfreedom.com. The course is led by Reagan biographer and expert
Dr. Paul Kangor, frequent guest on my show. And the course includes Professor Kangor's one-on-one interviews with the likes of Bill Bennett, Ed Meese, Peter Robinson, Michael Reagan, and more. It's a remarkable offer that you will truly not find anywhere else, and it's free. Yeah, it's actually free. While you're there at faithandfreedom.com, also check out the many articles and lectures on topics from freedom of conscience to critical race theory, from Madison and Lincoln to Churchill and Reagan. You can find all of this and much more on the website at the Institute for Faith and Freedom, faithandfreedom.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today, and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
You're listening to a best of the Michael Medved Show.
Now, you had one more question, Rob. Go ahead.
Real quickly, as an historian, I cut you're the historian. I'm something else, but I cut my teeth on Sandberg Slink in his sixth volume biography. And what is your assessment of that now?
Good question.
Sandberg was the butt of ridicule and criticism for all the time, all the years I was getting started in the field. Everybody was a little bit jealous of him because the book was such an enormous popular and critical success. The Prairie Years won the Pulitzer Prize, after all. If you go back to it, you realize two things. Especially if, like me, you've spent such a long time doing real research, is that Sandberg really did tremendous research, and he got a lot of stuff. He got almost everything right. It's just that he wouldn't put source notes in there. He just refused. And then number two, no one could write like Sandberg. He actually had the vernacular, the Galesburg, Illinois, Lincoln tone that he maintained for six volumes, as you said. And boy, nobody could do that except Sandberg. And it's brilliant. And it's, you know, to me, it's still one of the great Lincoln books ever published.
There, we had a question that came in from a caller or a listener from across the country who didn't want to stay on the line but wanted to pose the question to you, and you and I might answer this differently. Her question was about the hijacking of Lincoln by Democrats when he was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't fully understand, is there any element of the parties that is consistent and that is inconsistent? The one point that I would make would be that while people can say that, well, the Republicans, the Democrats used to be the party that was for states' rights, mm-hmm. the Republicans now are more for states' rights. Republicans from the very beginning, and this very much included Lincoln, were the pro-business party and still are. And the party where, for instance, I mean, Lincoln made a lot of his money, such as it was, with the Illinois Central Railroad. He was a railroad lawyer.
Right.
And didn't find anything disgraceful or questionable about that.
Well, that was the Whig Party side of Lincoln. He certainly was for, but he was also for, and here's something where the parties have realigned, I think, you know, based on his early interests. Lincoln was very much for internal improvements, for the kind of big work that the Democrats want to do in terms of infrastructure.
Right, and of course, the whole Whig Party was based on that. That was Henry Clay's American
system. Lincoln almost made Illinois bankrupt in his zeal for internal improvement, so it cuts both ways. Look, whatever you feel about whether the parties have realigned to the total opposite of what they were, and Spielberg, I think, definitely believes that, and one of the reasons that the film may not have been released until after the election is he may well, he's hinted about this, may have harbored a fear, you know, he's a Democrat, that people would think that the Republicans were the good guys and the Democrats were the bad guys and would transpose that sensibility. I think he takes us all a little bit, for granted on that. But if you want to credit one genius, political genius, as Doris Goodwin would say, for making the case that Lincoln was a Democrat, it was Franklin D. Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt heard about the play, it was then just a play, Abe Lincoln in Illinois, later a movie, hired Robert Sherwood, its author, who basically wrote the play to get America into World War II and to make it sound like something Lincoln would have done, and hired him as a speechwriter. All of a sudden, his speeches began to reflect Lincoln and cite Lincoln as a supporter of New Deal initiatives.
Absolutely right. And then Robert Sherwood went on to write a great memoir of that called Roosevelt and Hopkins, which is another story. But let's talk for just a moment about the other big movie about an American president, which is a big movie about Franklin D. Roosevelt. We'll get to that and more with historian Lincoln biographer Harold Holzer.
Michael Medved.
This is Michael Medved at MichaelMedved.com for Town Hall. A new study of the aging process demolishes one of the chief leftist claims about health care, that government control can eliminate inequality. The research conducted by Harvard and University College London looked at more than 25,000 people over 50 in the U.S. and the U.K. In both countries, subjects with higher net worth enjoyed an identical advantage of 8 to 9 disability-free years compared to those with little or no personal wealth. The results shocked experts who expected that Britain's highly touted government-funded National Health Service would produce more equal outcomes than the United States. Data strongly suggests the real difference in health and longevity reflect common patterns in both countries, where the poor are far more likely to smoke, to consume unhealthy diets, to abuse drugs and alcohol, and shun regular exercise. In both America and Britain, health depends less on government programs than on lifestyle choices we can control. I'm Michael Medved.
Whatever your political alignment, you're going to enjoy the new book, Lincoln, How Abraham Lincoln Ended Slavery in America. It's a quick read. It is a beautifully illustrated read. It is by Harold Holzer. It's his 43rd book about Lincoln or the Civil War era. And it is worth checking out. Also, just one more reminder. So many of you have given our special history program, our Medved broadcast, The Real Lincoln, as holiday gifts. But it's still available. And you can get an MP3 download. You can get it in CD format. It's 3 hours of fascinating broadcast about mostly about stuff about Abraham Lincoln that you may not have known. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. That's MedvedHistoryStore.com. Harold Holzer, one more point about the alignment of the parties. The Republican Party in 1860, which grew out of the Whig Party, which grew out of the Federalist Party, that was always the party more aligned with a strong military, the party that would tend to nominate generals more often than the other side. That's also been a consistent element in the Republican identity and very much part of the Lincoln heritage, don't you think?
Absolutely, but anybody who thinks that the Republican Party was founded for anything except to fight slavery expansion is
right.
wrong about that, and that's
totally.
its origins. And you know, I don't think the parties differ that much in the commitment to equal opportunity in this country, so that's remained the same.
You don't think that the Republican Party differs from the Democratic Party or from what it was?
Well, in how the country should go about achieving perfect equality, yes, obviously, but I think. If you look back, the events in the movie and in the book are only 150 years ago. This country has undergone such a revolutionary metamorphosis in its attitude that when Lincoln died, I'm not sure he was completely convinced that we would ever have a functional biracial society. And I think most Republicans and most Democrats would have agreed that that was not possible. So, you know, it's like we've come a long way, baby, and it started with the emancipation, which is having its sesquicentennial. And then the 13th Amendment.
But, of course, you make clear in the book, and people need to understand, the 13th Amendment was so important because it was permanent, it was irrevocable, and it was everywhere. The Emancipation Proclamation freed slaves. I mean, people have said disparagingly, as Lincoln freed slaves where he had no power to free them and kept people in slavery where he would have had power to free them.
Yeah, but my answer is he didn't have power to free slaves in the states that were still in their normal relation to the United States, because the Constitution protected those slaves. And he did have power in the areas that were in rebellion, because he could send in the military to enforce the proclamation the same way the Continental Army had to enforce the Declaration of Independence, which did not make a new country on July 4th, 1776. We had to fight for it.
And we fought for the rebirth of freedom in the war between the states, between the war in the War for the Union, the Civil War, dramatized in the new book Lincoln by Harold Holzer. Thank you for your contribution to understanding of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Now it's time for MedBed's Entertainment Minute.
On one sleepless and horribly violent night, a rookie cop, a sleazy operator with connections, and a world-weary hitman played by Gerard Butler are all thrown together in a police outpost in the Nevada desert in a tense, slick, and impressive new film called Cop Shop, now playing in theaters.
What'd you do?
I did what I had to do
to get to you, Teddy.
You're a psychopath.
I'm a professional.
And the director of this film, Joe Carnahan, is an action specialist who is definitely a professional. The tension and the brutality never lets up, but it's expertly well played, especially by newcomer Alexis Lauder, who is simply outstanding as the tough, charismatic policewoman at the center of all the action. Yes, some of the bloody excesses are implausible and even ridiculous, but fine supporting work also helps to carry this R-rated project. 2.5 stars for Cop Shop. No masterpiece, but consistently competent.
You've been listening to The Michael Medved Show. Thanks for tuning in today. Your cultural crusader is back in the flesh, on the air, live tomorrow, back from the last of the Jewish holiday observances this fall. Thanks so much for hanging with us through some of these replays and best of material that we've repurposed here the past few days. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for all the breaking news and uncensored views right here on The Michael Medved Show.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they are able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-391-8713. 800-391-8713. That's 800-391-8713.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.